Grace, peace, and mercy from God our Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. I have a great idea, okay? We want people to come to Christ, right?
Yes.
We want people to come into the church, right?
Yes.
So, if we offer $10 for every person that will come to church, won't that work?
No.
I couldn't keep a straight face. Maybe $20. How about $100? Every person that walks in that door, $100. I guarantee you, you're going to get people coming in.
Yeah.
Now, yes, it wouldn't be for the right reason. And does that sound kind of foolish? Mm-hmm. I mean, we could blow through money like nothing. Well, at times, and you're probably wondering why I said that, at times, pastors, church leaders, we think we can drive mission through programs, through innovative ideas. Well, here's an innovative idea. Let's preach Christ crucified. What do you think? Christ crucified. Suffered, died, rose. And guess what? You're going to follow. You're going to suffer. You're going to die in Christ on the last day. We'll raise you up. Now, wouldn't you think people would just be storming the doors? They're not. Now, think about this. I got to be careful how I word this because we're live. Imagine I said, you know, you come. God has gifts for you. You know what this is? Money. God has things for you. I mean, yes, God has things for you, but and God will provide for you. But there are some out there that will say, he wants you to have this. And this is how you get it. That is not Christ crucified. What about moralistic, therapeutic? Now, let me just say it plainly. God does not need to be particularly involved in one's life except when we need him to solve a problem. What do you think of that? Well, just call on him when there's an issue. That's out there. That's out there in the world. Be like saying, God, we only need you to get stuff. Sound like the children of Israel? You know, they turned really, really quick when they didn't get what they wanted, even though God was providing for what they needed. That type of preaching, getting things, and just calling on God for when we need him, is real popular with our human nature, with natural man. The self-centered man who's always thinking and wondering, what's in it for me? What do you got for me? The cross is foolishness to many. Here we're going to find out how many people read my article. In the newsletter, you saw the cartoon? Hopefully. It was kind of, you're probably wondering, what's with the donkey head on the man on the cross? Remember that? That is from a little boy who was a Christian, was being ridiculed by other little boys who were pagans. And they drew this, making fun of how this little boy could worship Jesus. Because to these other little boys that were pagans, the cross was ridiculous. That's why they put the donkey head on. It was ridiculous. They didn't see it. The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. You know, look at Corinth during the day. Not dissimilar from the United States today. Busy, highly commercial. We're busy, highly commercial. Cosmopolitan. I would say, you know, the cities around here are kind of cosmopolitan. Looking at the following the trends. I mean, look at our society. How many magazines are out, even local magazines, following the trends of society? I love this one. Looking to politicians to solve their problems. Almost hated to even bring that up. But we do. We fall into that. And so did the Corinthians. Followed current fads. They worshiped the gods who could appease them and they could get what they wanted. I'm telling you, there's people out there that will follow God if they can get what they want. And when they don't, they're done with him. He's like a vending machine. To many, the cross of Christ is a stumbling block. Then and today. It was incredible to the Jews that God's chosen one would end his life on the cross. That would be the end. It wouldn't be crushing the Romans. It would be suffering and death. Today, our society avoids suffering at all costs. You know, growing up in the 70s, remember, I cut this finger with a tree saw. Opened it right up. And I remember telling my dad, you know what he told me? Go put a Band-Aid on it. Today, you know what would happen? People would be rushing them to the hospital. It might even call an ambulance. I'm not saying I shouldn't have had stitches because I probably should have, but I healed. There's suffering on this earth. And our suffering brings us closer to God. It increases our faith in Him in the end. Look at what we're all going through. It's not over yet. We don't know what the end will. That's the scary part. But guess what? We do know what the end will be. Because we trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who suffered and died and rose. So we do know the end. And we do trust him. Even though at times we might not like the outcome. It's not that we like suffering. I mean, who likes suffering? Raise your hand. Who's like, bring it on? There we go. We got one. Not me. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But I trust my Lord and Savior. Because guess what? Suffering our human nature doesn't want us to suffer. God does not want us to suffer. It's not what was meant. Death was never in the cards when God created us. I mean, yes, he knew, because he knows the beginning and the end. But that's not what he had intended. But he sent his son to suffer when people screamed, crucify him, crucify him. When they whipped him and took chunks of flesh. That was supposed to be our flesh. That was supposed to be us. But he took that for us. And society looks at this and they're like, you guys, you Christians are crazy. You guys are nuts. Because you're saying by your faith, you are saved in Christ. I mean, say, yes. By grace through faith, we are saved. But don't you have to do something? It's a beauty part. No. He's the one that changes our hearts and our mind. In the end, will we do something? Are we doing something? Are we going through sanctification? Yes. But guess what? Sometimes we go backwards. Sometimes we trip. We fall. You guys all have your communion cups in your hand, right? With the little wafer. The true body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given for you for the forgiveness of sins. And people are like, sorry, Ryan, shouldn't move on him. You're like, hold it, this little thing, that's going to give you forgiveness of sin? Yes, because this is the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But some think that's a fairy tale, but we don't. We know it's not. We know God loved us so much because we know John 3:16 and by heart. And people look and they're like, you guys are crazy. I'm like, okay, yeah, we're crazy. Come join us. Because what's going to happen to you in the end and what's going to happen to us is totally different. Because we trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We trust our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he is God. He is the I Am. And he sent his son to come and save us. To come and save us. It wasn't to try to save us, no, to save us. But still the world, it's crazy. Well, they can think we're crazy. That's fine. You okay with that?
Yeah.
Because I'm okay with that. The Word of God, does not return void. When God speaks, things happen. Let there be light. Poof. That's why we speak the word. When God's word is heard, people are changed. Some people think that's crazy. But that's what our Lord and Savior has told us. He has told us in our suffering, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Society might see us as weak and foolish. They might look at the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior as craziness. They might even draw cartoons. But people will, they'll hear what they want to hear. They will close their ears to what they don't want to hear. They will believe what they want to believe. But when it comes to our salvation, we hear what God wants us to hear. We receive what God wants us to receive. And we believe in what has been written in his blessed word. We have faith with God so graciously gave us and continues to nurture through us by the means of grace. In other words, the word and word and sacrament, Holy Communion, baptism. Word combined with the element of bread and wine that we know is the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. And yes, we're crazy enough to say, yes, the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior is in and under the bread and the wine. Even though I can't see it. By faith, I know it's there. Because he told me. You always hear the Bible told me so? There we go. To multiple places. He won salvation for us. And to many, it's still a foolishness and a stumbling block. But we believe in our Lord and Savior who suffered and died and was raised on the third day. And we believe the Holy Spirit gathers and enlightens his church and continues to forgive. Because guess what? We're going to need that forgiveness until Christ come because of the sin that clings to us. We have salvation because we trust in what God wants us to see and what he wants us to hear. This is God's plan, and it cannot be missed. Amen.